Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include American Jewish World Service, supporting human rights advocates worldwide in the fight for democracy, equity, and justice for all people. Learn more at ajws.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas, offering a local team to help businesses invest in the health of their employees with a choice of benefit options. Learn more at bcbsks.com/business.
79 degrees in Lawrence, 84 in Manhattan. It is 3:06.
The Countess's most famous question,
What is a weekend?
Might almost have been her own. I'm Bob Mondello.
This is NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming pianist Jonathan Mamora, striving to uplift and positively influence others using music as a means for service. Sunday, October 6, 2 p.m. in the Pavilion. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu.
Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. Coming up in our next half hour, news headlines. Then a new report examines how U.S. history is being taught in middle and high schools. Talk about that. Becky Sullivan visits the final home game of the year for the Chicago White Sox. And then we have a conversation with a man who has written a book about an interview that was done with Jelly Roll Morton back in 1938, an oral history. Alan Lomax did it. All of it discussing censored songs from the early 20th century. We'll learn more coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Z's Divine Espresso, offering organic coffees via drive-through windows and inside at 1800 East 23rd Street and 2351 West 31st in Lawrence. CoffeeInLawrence.com.
Halloween arrives early at the next KPR Cinema, a go-go. Friday night, October 4th at Liberty Hall, a night of classic monster movies, including Dr. X and Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets at the door. All the details at kansaspublicradio.org. It's made possible by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. Join us for a spooky cinema, a go-go. That would be Friday night, October 4th at Liberty Hall. It's 3:20.
Support for NPR.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 7 o'clock on your KPR station, 7 to 10 a.m. It's Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon and Kay McIntyre.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
News headlines coming up next at 79 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Abilene. It is 3:30.
Stocks finished the week mixed. The Dow is up 137 points. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. City leaders in Topeka are set to vote on changes to the city's camping ordinance that would expand restrictions on where camping is permitted and would likely affect people dealing with homelessness. KSNT-TV reports that a proposal before the city council would prohibit camps within 500 feet of any public infrastructure. The current limit is 300 feet. The suggested changes also include expanding the definition of public infrastructure to include government buildings and facilities related to public utilities, along with some other areas. The council is scheduled to vote on the changes at its meeting on October 8th. The threats of school violence that put districts around the region on alert earlier this month have tapered off. As Jody Fortino reports, schools are now thinking about what else they can do to keep kids safe.
John Calver is the head school safety specialist for the Kansas Department of Education. He said the state has seen an uptick in social media threats. Kansas requires schools to conduct at least 3 crisis drills every year to ensure they have response plans and training for staff and students.
It's hard to say after tragedies is that our schools really are the safest place our kids are going to be that day. But it doesn't mean that we take these threats lightly. It doesn't mean we take these incidents lightly.
Calvert encouraged residents to report threats, but asked them not to reshare the post on social media. I'm Jody Fortino.
Even though rural Kansas has direct access to agriculture, schools lack access to fresh local food. A program from the Kansas Department of Education is aimed at changing that. Kaylin Moore had this report.
School district leaders gathered in southwest Kansas to tour local farms so they could build connections with farmers who can supply meat, fruits, and vegetables. Despite being a farm state, Kansas imports 95% of its produce, and schools are no exception. Aaron Davis, the Farm to Plate program coordinator, says local sourcing provides healthy food and has economic benefits.
Keeping our dollars repurchasing from Kansas producers is a big push for local foods as well.
Farmers need wholesale markets to sell to, and school districts could use their fresh produce to feed students. The program could ultimately benefit both students and farmers. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
This is KPR.
Support for... You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you are listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lorson. Author and musician Elijah Wald has written numerous books, including works about Robert Johnson, Bob Dylan, Dave Van Ronk, and a number of other topics. His latest book is called Jelly Roll Blues, Censored Songs and Hidden Histories. At the heart of this book is a recording of Jelly Roll Morton from the Library of Congress. It was recorded by folklorist Alan Lomax in 1938, but the full recording wasn't released until 2005. KPR's Tom Parkinson asked Elijah Wald how he felt when he first discovered these recordings.
I was blown away, first of all, just that there was all this material that had not been released, and that it included a blues ballad that was 59 verses and half an hour long, and we never knew that there were such things as epic blues ballads, because the only one that got recorded got censored and hidden from us. And that just made me begin to wonder how much else we were missing from that history.
Yeah, it certainly does make one wonder. So much of that formerly hidden and censored material was revealed, though, in these 1938 sessions at the Library of Congress. If you could tell us a little bit about how these recording sessions came about.
Jelly Roll Morton showed up at Alan Lomax's office and said, I can tell you the whole history of jazz. You should record me. And Lomax's initial reaction was that he wasn't interested because he was a folklorist and jazz was cheap pop music. But the way he tells the story, he decided to figure out how much folk music a jazz musician had in him. But basically what happened was Lomax sat on the floor with 2 disc recorders and sat there and recorded 8 hours of Morton reminiscing and playing music.
You know, it makes me wonder. I mean, here's a black man in 1938 speaking to a much younger white man, a government official in a government office in Washington. It makes me wonder how much Morton was censoring himself during these sessions.
On the early records, Morton is very clearly censoring his language. And Lomax pushed him because Lomax wanted to get the real street stuff. Lomax had heard a lot of that stuff out in the field. And so he knew that Morton was censoring things. And also there are moments where Morton starts to sing a verse and then says, oh, no, can't sing that one. That's a dirty one. And you can hear Lomax saying, no, go ahead, sing it. And Morton eventually gave in. But it's interesting because Morton used all the 4-letter words in the songs as he remembered them. He never used them in speech, and he never used the N-word, even in songs. And there is actually a moment in the recording where you can hear him not using it. He refers to a bouncer, a in a club in Memphis. He says, yeah, he was really the toughest Negro in the whole city. In fact, he was the toughest man, white or black. And there's that pause where he has stopped himself.
Well, you know, Elijah, one of the aspects of this that really struck me, you know, in the 1960s, so many young people seemed to think that they'd invented sex. And I think the same thing occurred with so-called gangster rap in the 1990s. Is this something that every generation believes?
Yeah. The dirty rhymes, the dirty songs, every generation learned in their teens from slightly older teenagers and thought of as stuff the grown-ups don't know. A lot of the same lines, in some cases, a lot of the same entire verses that people had been collecting 100 years earlier. You know, so that rhymes that were collected in 1910, kids were still repeating it in the street in 1990, thinking that this was brand new stuff that their grandparents would be horrified by.
That was author Elijah Wald speaking with KPR's Tom Parkinson. Wald will be discussing his latest book, Jelly Roll Blues, Censored Songs and Hidden Histories, at the Kansas Book Festival at Washburn University in Topeka tomorrow, and then again Sunday afternoon at the Lawrence Public Library. In his role as a performing blues man, he'll be playing a house concert in Kansas City tonight. Information about all of his appearances and more about his books can be found on the website ElijahWald.com. That's ElijahWald.com. And you can hear a longer version of Elijah Wald's conversation with KPR's Tom Parkinson at the KPR website, KansasPublicRadio.org. This is your place for NPR News from the University of Kansas, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. In our next half hour, we will tell you about the situation in Beirut. Israel says it bombed Hezbollah's headquarters in that city. Also, Vice President Harris made a visit to the southern U.S. border with Mexico. What happened? We'll tell you coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas Book Festival, September 28th at Washburn University in Topeka, featuring author panels, live music, food trucks, exhibitor tents, and kids' activities. Open to the public. Details at kansasbookfestival.com.
This is All Things Considered, mcfoundation.org.
I'm Peter Sagal. This week, Wait Wait goes to Kansas City to talk to a legendary singer closely associated with that town. Of course it's Dionne Warwick. Who did you think it was? Join us for the News Quiz from NPR.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 10 o'clock on your KPR One stations. Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me, the weekly NPR News Quiz. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Lows in the upper 50s tonight. It's 78 degrees in Lawrence. It's 4 o'clock.
Coverage match limited by state law.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Reach an engaged and influential audience by becoming a KPR corporate sponsor. It's an efficient, effective way to recognize your business and support public media. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Lows in the upper 50s tonight, highs in the lower 80s tomorrow, 79 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Topeka. It is 4:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia. Lots of other frequencies, too. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, presenting the Broadway musical Dear Evan Hansen, Tuesday, October 1st, 7:30 p.m., about a high school student who always feels like he's on the outside looking in. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Stay with us. Coming up in our next half hour news headlines, we will learn about the path of destruction being left by Helene. Also, is there any kind of backup plan for the U.S. if there happened to be a total outage of GPS? They're presenting this hypothetically, which makes me kind of concerned, but it turns out that the U.S. does not have a plan B for if GPS goes down, and that would be a problem. We will talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982 with a variety of environmental services from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com.
Join us tonight at 7 o'clock on your KPR1 stations for the BBC Proms. Tonight, Patricia Kopaczynskaya performing Schoenberg's Violin Concerto with the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Also, Rifon Williams's Greensleeves Fantasia and Shostakovich's Fifth Symphony. It's the BBC Proms tonight at 7 on your KPR1 stations. If KPR2 is more your thing, stay tuned for Snap Judgment at 7 o'clock. Lows in the upper 50s tonight, highs in the lower 80s tomorrow. The time is 4:20.
NPR News, I'm Oliver Morrison in Charleroi, Pennsylvania.
This is NPR News.
This weekend marks the 100th anniversary of the first ever round-the-world journey by aircraft. After 6 months flying from spot to spot around the globe, planes made of wood and fabric touched down in their final destination.
It really is Seattle's best-kept secret in aviation.
But a secret no more. This year, Seattle is hosting a centennial celebration to mark the achievement. That's on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations. You will hear Weekend All Things Considered on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Lows in the upper 50s tonight, highs in the lower 80s tomorrow. It's 83 degrees in Emporia, 81 in Chanute, 83 in Abilene, and it is 4:30. News headlines are coming up next.
Blinken is raising concerns that militants could target American personnel and interests in the region. He's warning that the U.S. will take every measure to defend America.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. City leaders in Topeka are set to vote on changes to the city's camping ordinance that would expand restrictions on where camping is permitted and would likely affect people dealing with homelessness. KSNT-TV reports that a proposal before the city council would prohibit camps within 500 feet of any public infrastructure. The current limit is 300 feet. The suggested changes also include expanding the definition of public infrastructure to include government buildings and facilities related to public utilities and some other areas. The council is scheduled to vote on the changes at its meeting on October 8th. The threats of school violence that put districts around the region on alert earlier this month have tapered off. As Jody Fortino reports, schools are now thinking about what else they can do to keep kids safe.
John Calver is the head school safety specialist for the Kansas Department of Education. He said the state has seen an uptick in social media threats. Kansas requires schools to conduct at least 3 crisis drills every year to ensure they have response plans and training for staff and students.
It's hard to say after tragedies is that our schools really are the safest place our kids are going to be that day. But it doesn't mean that we take these threats lightly. It doesn't mean we take these incidents lightly.
Calvert encouraged residents to report threats, but asked them not to reshare the post on social media. I'm Jody Fortino.
The fall months mark the beginning of deer breeding season. You may also know it as rut. This creates an uptick in cars crashing into deer searching for mates. That results in injuries and death. Douglas County Sheriff Jay Armbrister says his officers are already seeing more reports of deer strikes.
You know, one wreck can alter numerous lives, especially if you're not prepared or not ready or if you're just flat not paying attention.
Officials in both Kansas and Missouri are urging drivers to stay alert, slow down, and use their headlights during dusk and darker hours. Partly cloudy skies this evening, mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low in the mid 50s. Sunshine on Sunday, highs in the lower 80s once again. You're listening to KPR, and the time is 4:35.
From NPR News.
There's a new music program coming to Kansas Public Radio this October. 105 Live will showcase the best new and noteworthy music from all 105 counties across the state of Kansas, from Allen to Wyandotte. Hosted by me, Nick Carswell, the Hour of Kansas Music will include live studio sessions, concert recordings, interviews, and more. 105 Live starts 5 p.m. Saturday, October 5th on Kansas Public Radio.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Community Orchestra, presenting Voices of Women, performing Florence Price's Symphony No. 1 in E minor, Saturday, October 5th at Plymouth Congregational Church. Information and tickets at lawrenceorchestra.org.
Stay tuned. Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines, of course. Then we'll tell you about the search and rescue operations underway in Florida's Big Bend region. Also, remembering the life and career of Dame Maggie Smith, all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from KU Spencer Museum of Art. Open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, noon to 5 p.m. Details at spencerart.ku.edu.
Lows in the upper 50s tonight, highs in the lower 80s tomorrow, lows in the mid-50s tomorrow night, sunshine on Sunday with highs in the lower 80s once again. Don't really have any rain in the forecast through at least Thursday of next week. It's 79 degrees in Lawrence. It is 10 minutes before 5.
Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
Morning Edition from NPR News asks the crucial questions of our time.
Who can make the best cookie, humans or AI?
Unpack the answers with us every weekday.
Join us for Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. News headlines coming your way at 5:01. It's 79 degrees in Lawrence and it's 5 o'clock.
Information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, presenting the Broadway musical Dear Evan Hansen, Tuesday, October 1st, 7:30 p.m., about a high school student who always feels like he's on the outside looking in. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Lows in the upper 50s tonight, highs in the lower 80s tomorrow. It's 79 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 5:06.
Later, Maggie Smith left audiences craving more of her presence for 7 decades, though she worked so constantly that the Dowager Countess's most famous question,
What is a weekend?
Might almost have been her own. I'm Bob Mandela.
This is NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. It is your place for NPR News. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 89.9 FM in Atchison, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org, simulcasting KPR 1 and KPR 2 during the news programs, but otherwise two very different slates available for you to choose from. Check it out when you have a moment. all of our frequencies listed at kansaspublicradio.org, where, as I mentioned, we are always streaming as well.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas, committed to a healthier future for all Kansans with health care coverage for businesses and their employees. Learn more at bcbsks.com/business.
Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines. We will talk about the White Sox last home game of the season, how American history is taught in middle school and high school. And then it turns out that Jelly Roll Morton gave an oral history back in 1938. It was not heard until 2005, and now an author has written a book talking all about it. Tom Parkinson spoke with Elijah Wald. We will hear that interview coming up shortly here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
KPR proud to bring you a brand new series. It's called 105 Live. It's all about contemporary music, showcasing the best new and notable music from all 105 counties in Kansas. Nick Carswell is your host for 105 Live, which makes its debut Saturday, October 5th at 5 p.m. on KPR One.
NPR comes from this station.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 7 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon and Kay McIntyre.
By making a planned gift, you can support KPR for years to come. Options include contributing assets such as stocks, bonds, certificates of deposit, and real estate for your charitable gift. Contact your financial advisor or kansaspublicradio.org.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 79 degrees in Lawrence, 84 in Manhattan. It's 5:30.
You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. City leaders in Topeka are set to vote on changes to the city's camping ordinance that would expand restrictions on where camping is permitted and would likely affect people dealing with homelessness. KSNT-TV reports that a proposal before the city council would prohibit camps within 500 feet of any public infrastructure. The current limit is 300 feet. The suggested changes also include expanding the definition of public infrastructure to include government buildings and facilities related to public utilities, along with some other areas. The council is scheduled to vote on the changes at its meeting on October 8th. The threats of school violence that put districts around the region on alert earlier this month have tapered off. As Jody Fortino reports, schools are now thinking about what else they can do to keep kids safe.
John Calvert is the head school safety specialist for the Kansas Department of Education. He said the state has seen an uptick in social media threats. Kansas requires schools to conduct at least 3 crisis drills every year to ensure they have response plans and training for staff and students.
It's hard to say after tragedies is that our schools really are the safest place our kids are going to be that day. But it doesn't mean that we take these threats lightly. It doesn't mean we take these incidents lightly.
Calvert encouraged residents to report threats, but asked them not to reshare the post on social media. I'm Jody Fortino.
Even though rural Kansas has direct access to agriculture, schools often lack access to fresh local food. A program from the Kansas Department of Education is aimed at changing that. Kaylin Moore has the details.
School district leaders gathered in southwest Kansas to tour local farms so they could build connections with farmers who can supply meat, fruits, and vegetables. Despite being a farm state, Kansas imports 95% of its produce, and schools are no exception. Aaron Davis, the Farm to Plate program coordinator, says local sourcing provides healthy food and has economic benefits.
Keeping our dollars repurchasing from Kansas producers is a big push for local foods as well.
Farmers need wholesale markets to sell to, and school districts could use their fresh produce to feed students. The program could ultimately benefit both students and farmers. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
It's 5:35. This is KPR.
Support for...
And he'll be back next year, too. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, Chicago.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lorson. Author and musician Elijah Wald has written numerous books about Robert Johnson, Dave Van Ronk, Bob Dylan, lots of other topics as well. His latest book is called Jelly Roll Blues, Censored Songs and Hidden Histories. At the heart of this book is a recording of Jelly Roll Morton from the Library of Congress. It was recorded by folklorist Alan Lomax in 1938, but the full recording was not released until 2005. KPR's Tom Parkinson asked Elijah Wald how he felt when he first discovered these recordings.
I was blown away and thought of as stuff the grown-ups don't know. A lot of the same lines, in some cases a lot of the same entire verses that people had been collecting 100 years earlier. You know, so that rhymes that were collected in 1910, kids were still repeating in the street in 1990, thinking that this was brand new stuff that their grandparents would be horrified by.
That's author Elijah Wald speaking with KPR's Tom Parkinson. Wald will be discussing his latest book, Jelly Roll Blues, at the Kansas Book Festival at Washburn University in Topeka tomorrow, and on Sunday afternoon at the Lawrence Public Library. In his role as a performing blues man, he'll be playing a house concert in Kansas City tonight. Information about all of his appearances and more about his books can be found on his website, ElijahWald.com. You can hear a longer version of this conversation with KPR's Tom Parkinson at the KPR website, kansaspublicradio.org. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 90.3 FM in Chanute, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, celebrating 90 years of smiles, memories, wildlife conservation, and education. Open daily from 9 to 5. Calendar of events and ticket information is found at topekazoo.org.
Stay tuned. Coming up next, news headlines. That's going to happen at 6:01. Then the latest on the Israeli airstrikes in Beirut. We'll also learn more about the new Prime Minister of Japan. Those stories and more still to come. It's 10 minutes before 6 o'clock.
.coop. And from ECMC Foundation at ecmcfoundation.org.
I'm Peter Sagal. This week, Wait Wait goes to Kansas City to talk to a legendary singer closely associated with that town. Of course it's Dionne Warwick. Who did you think it was? Join us for the news quiz from NPR.
Tune in tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on your KPR One stations for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the weekly NPR News Quiz. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KAND and KAND HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, K210 CR Atchison 89.9, K258BT Manhattan 99.5, and at kansaspublicradio.org. It's 6 o'clock.